Welcome back to another edition of This Week in College Football, brought to you by CFB Talk Daily. Today is Friday, October 18th. Before we get into the episode, let's address the elephant in the room, the two-week layoff we had. For those of you who know, we are college students, and it's that time of year where we have midterms. Also, to go with that, me and John both work 40 hours a week, so time was a little crunched, I guess. We didn't have time between studying work to get to a podcast. But Saturday we watched the game, so it's not like we missed out on that. So that's actually what we're going to start with, is we're going to talk about last week's games. The first one we're going to talk about is Georgia going down. John, let's talk about that game a little bit. Give me some thoughts.
Honestly, that corner for South Carolina, I don't remember his name. He had three picks, so shout out to him because that was a very impressive showing by him. He almost single-handedly upset them. I don't think Jake Fromm is the best quarterback in the country anymore. John Gooch kind of convinced me about that, which is shocking because I'm a big Herbert guy. But after watching that game, I have flip-flopped again. I think Herbert is the best quarterback in the country.
So watching that game, obviously South Carolina, after Helinski got hurt, down to their third string, Dacron Joyner. I think at the end of the game, Georgia was kind of given the chance to tie it. I mean, there was a questionable pass interference, I think it was, but a lot of people were saying that it wasn't. Then you have both teams not scoring in the first overtime. But I don't think this loss single-handedly eliminates Georgia, but I think that it kind of puts them at an uphill battle. I think they need things to happen now, whereas if they ran the table, it would have been a lot more favorable for them to get in. Do you agree?
See, no, I do agree, but I'm going to bring something up. We're going to talk about right now on air. I feel like once the playoff thing comes out, we should do like a 10-15 minute episode addressing like the rankings. Just real quick.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay.
Like, I feel like that's on Mondays, I think it comes out, or Sundays, right?
Sundays? I think the first, yeah, I think it's Sunday nights.
Okay, yeah, so we could do like, I mean, I got to work one on Mondays, so we could do it like Monday, like you're at work.
We'll figure that one out. Yeah. So keep your eye out for that one.
Yeah.
So, and then the one last thing with Georgia losing, I know me and you talked about it. I'm especially a big fan of just chaos happening and putting the committee in a position to have to make a decision with losses. So I think that this actually kind of seems like it's going to be a realistic chance where the committee is going to have to make a decision on like what loss is more, I guess, acceptable than the other, where if LSU loses a game or if Alabama loses a game, you know, so I think that'll be fun to watch with the rest of the season coming down. The other big game that was this past weekend was the Red River rivalry. John, I'll let you start off with this one again. What did you see?
Oklahoma's pretty good, but I've been saying this for a while before the season. We have a lot of Oklahoma fans who follow us. They looked pretty vulnerable. You probably agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Hurts played. He didn't have his best game, but I think people were saying he's not as good as – I think he's very good. He struggled the game. That's okay. It's a big rivalry game. Like, Lincoln Riley is good for that offense. And the Oklahoma defense, shaky. Texas's offense was – pretty weird. They didn't really take shots all game until they were down by a lot. And Ellinger just seemed to play really conservative. It wasn't the best showing.
See, I'm looking at like their stats right now, offensively and defensively. And I mean, Oklahoma, like they only let up, I believe, 310 yards, which I'm not even sure like if this is just like a factor where Oklahoma typically plays bad defense and I'm just like, wow, that's like a crazy, like not a lot of like yards to let up. But like they held Ellinger to only, I think, 210, which I mean, you know, in the Big 12, that's like amazing. So
yeah, but a lot of that was on like Ellinger's reads. Like he was really playing poorly until like the third, fourth quarter.
Yeah, and like what you just said, but like Texas not taking shots, like they didn't take shots until they were down so much where – like, I feel like if it's a close game, like if it's like in the beginning of the game too, and you take those shots, getting them and like turning it into points is like such a huge momentum swing where if you're down and you get them, like the momentum doesn't swing as much.
I'd agree with that.
If you know, yeah, I don't know if you know what I mean. I kind of explained that weird.
No, I get what you're saying. It's like you're saying like early on, like it gets like the momentum in your favor, like you start feeling good about yourself, like more comfortable later in the game.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. I just wanted to make sure that. Wisconsin continued their mauling of teams from Michigan, 38-0 against the Michigan State.
Well, did you see my tweet today? I did want to talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you think this is Mark D'Antonio's last year at Michigan State?
Yes, but yeah.
I saw some rumblings on Twitter. I think Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell might be a fit, but we'll see.
And I think that Fickell is definitely one of those guys who's in the group of five who's going to be asked to come coach other places because he has a resume now at Cincinnati for a few years that he's had good teams. So I think that he would be a good fit in some power fives. And yep. I think Michigan State's kind of one of those teams that's kind of either A, hit their ceiling and is starting to fall, or I think they're starting to fall off of their ceiling because they were, what, 2004? They were in the college football playoff in recent memory. I forget what year it was exactly, but still, like now you're looking at a team that just got blown out 38-0.
I agree with you. I was gonna write the playoff too. Like I feel like they're one of those teams that they are an elite program. Like yeah,
yes,
they're falling.
I would agree. Notre Dame holding on against USC. That's another one of those games. Real quick, where like a lot of people would look at that and be like, oh, Notre Dame only beat USC by three. Like everyone talks about USC being bad, but like that's another game. That's a rivalry game. Like I kind of feel like you can get away with playing a close game in a rivalry because there's so much more like around it than like a regular season game.
Plus USC has talent. They just don't have the coaching.
Yes, I would agree.
It's not like you're going to out talent them. It's just like their coaching isn't the best.
Yeah.
Two things I wanted to touch on. One, someone commented on Kyler Murray's Instagram. This is unrelated to anything podcast, but you can keep it in. Someone said that he needs to run out of the pocket and run out of bounds and stretch the ball out so he can get out of bounds off the clock, right? And he commented back, stretch D's. That's so funny to me. The second thing I want to talk about was just that LSU game.
Yep,
LSU
that was
continuing their tears of playing night games. You don't want to go to Death Valley at night.
Nah, Coach O was right. I mean, Joe. Yeah, Death Valley. It's where good. That's where teams' dreams go to die.
Yeah, that was a great quote. I kind of liked it.
I mean, if you look at it, like Joe Burrow, 21-24 with 293. Like you can't ask for much more. Trask even played well. Like he threw for 310. Just, I mean, I just think LSU this year offensively is going to put up with anyone in the country.
One more thing I wanted to talk on quick was Kentucky is playing a wide receiver at quarterback for the foreseeable future, maybe the rest of the season. Lynn Bowden, he's been their best receiver for the last 2 years. But I just want to shout out Lynn for having them going like I think 10-2.
Yeah, but they won.
I know. It's amazing. I can't believe it.
He was Lynn 7 of 11.
What?
He was 7 of 11 with one touchdown pass, 78 yards.
Impressive. They ran like sort of an option, but like. Not really.
Yeah. That's amazing. Like I saw that they were starting him and the first person I thought of was Lynn saying like 10 wins and I was like, man, they're gonna get blown out by 50 and then they won and I was like, dude, what?
Yeah, so maybe Lynn knew something about them that we didn't.
All right, so let's get into some of the games this week. There's some interesting games this week. Let's just start on Friday. Ohio State plays Northwestern. That's at Northwestern. Ohio
State interesting games.
I know. That's why I kind of want to talk about that. Like, how bad do you think Ohio State's going to beat Northwestern? At Northwestern.
38 points.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's going to blow them out. I think Ohio State is probably, like, the best. I think they're the best, most complete team in the country.
Oh, I agree. Their defense is out of this world right now. And Justin Fields, like, Ryan Day, like, there's almost been a seamless transition from Urban Meyer to Ryan Day.
Yeah, like you could probably argue that like LSU probably is a better offense than Ohio State, but Ohio State is a better defense than LSU. So like what like they're the most like most complete team is actually what I would stick with.
Yeah. That's probably true.
Yeah, okay.
For LSU, But LSU's defense has been tricky at times, which is a very un-LSU-like
thing. Yeah, LSU kind of, like, did, like, a whole flip-flop on us, where, like, they normally don't have a great offense, but they stick with it on defense, and now they're like, nah, we're just going to play offense, no defense.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I agree with what you're saying. That LSU, it's like, weird. Like, Dave Aranda, his defense is usually nasty. I mean, talked about it with Big Fave, that, like, he's one of the best systems in the country. And they're struggling.
Also, let's look at some other games. Let's sticking in the top five. Oklahoma plays West Virginia. Typically, that would be a like great game. I think Oklahoma is going to piss pound them.
Yeah, they are.
Let me take a look. But what I say, else?
Well, yeah. Score prediction. I say 52-14.
I'm trying to look at some other top 25 games. Oregon, Washington. This is a big game for you. What are you hoping for?
Honestly, if we get out with a win, I'll be happy. Oregon suffered some injuries this week. Patrick Herbert is now the starting tight end, so that's probably going to be a. Well, we gotta see how he does against Washington. Their defense is usually pretty good. Javon Holland luckily avoided a season-ending injury. It looked bad. I believe he was carted off. I can't remember. But he got hurt, and he's Oregon's maybe their best defensive player right now. So I'm hoping that he's fully healthy and not just rushing back for hate week. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we get out with a win, we should win the Pac-12, barring any losses that we shouldn't lose in the most Oregon fashion ever. But I hope we win.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. The only thing I want to point out is like this is like probably their number one loss game that's gonna like if they're gonna lose a game, it's gonna be this week because they're on the road against Washington. They're like historically not a great road team as of late. I mean, even though week one was technically a neutral site game, that still is a road game. They looked great, but they still ended up losing the game.
I think if that game was played today, Oregon would win that game.
As do I. I agree.
My biggest thing with – hold on, I just want to go one more thing. Just quick recruiting note here. Oregon hosted the number one corner in the country this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he said that he's going to have to rethink his decision. He's not committed, but it was reportedly between Georgia and Texas, with Oregon being the third team.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the last person this happened with? Kayvon Thibodeau. Same thing last year.
So this actually, the next thing we're going to talk about is probably who Oregon will end up playing if they win this week and then end up playing in the Pac championship game. This is probably who they're going to end up playing. Pac-12 South, Utah, Arizona State.
Yo, I'm firm for Herm, and I want to say that Jaden Daniels is probably one of the best freshmen in the country. Their quarterback, I think he's led three game-winning drives already this year. That is impressive.
Yeah, I think that the spread on this game is Utah -13.5. I think Arizona State's going to keep it close. I think Utah had a lot of like hype going into the year. Like, don't get me wrong, Utah, good team, but like people were talking about them sneaking into the playoffs, and then they go out and lose to USC. Who did Matt Fink play that game, or was that still Slovis?
I think that was Slovis.
Nope, that was Fink. I just looked. Slovis had two passes in that game. I thought, Fink threw all over Utah. So, I mean, I think Utah had a lot of the hype of playing in a weaker conference in a weak division. And people thought, oh, maybe they can, you know, play one of the big boys from the North and just beat them and sneak in. Where I think whoever wins the North is going to end up winning the Pac. And I said that in January, and I stick to it now.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. The North is very, very competitive. Normally.
The last game,
you
want to talk about? Last game I want to talk about, and this is like a real quick thing. We're going to find out who Michigan really is this week. I know they're the lower ranked team, however you want to talk about it. They're 16th against 7th Penn State. But like now is where we're going to, they play Penn State. So I think this week is where we're going to find out how good Michigan actually is. Because like they did.
You're going to find out how good Penn State is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, Michigan, like, at times this year has looked, like, not good. And then, like, it's been very few and far between where we've seen Michigan and we've been like, okay, like, this is a good team. I mean, the Illinois score doesn't look very close, but for a while in that game, I think it was less than a one-possession game. Like, they were about to lose the game, a couple fumbles late in the game. That was a freshman start for Illinois, I believe, where he came in because of injury. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think we're going to find out who Michigan is. And like you said, we're also going to find out who Penn State is. Like, if Penn State's a legitimate threat to push Ohio State.
I just wanted to say that I'm very excited for these two interviews, like, to be aired.
I agree. So what were the two things? I know you said you had a couple things, actually, you wanted to discuss, not game-related. Okay. I know the first one already.
One was Heisman. If you had to give one right now, who to go to?
You go first, because I want to think for a second.
Honestly, I saw Wayne Gretzky endorse Chuba Hubbard yesterday, which is pretty cool. Almost flipped my opinion, but I'm not going with Chuba Hubbard.
Okay.
Probably Fields.
Oh, you're kidding. I was just going to say the same thing.
Oh, well, we can agree. It's the best. What do we think?
No, I agree with you with Fields, because I think that a lot of questions were surrounding him going into the year, and including me. I just said I didn't know what kind of arm he had. So, you know, him going out and starting the way he has, I think he has almost 20 passing touchdowns, or it might just be touchdowns accounted for. Like, he's looked – him and the like whole Ohio State team has looked very, very good this year. But I think that if it wasn't going to go to Fields, I think people have to start considering Jalen Hurts. Like, I think that he's done such a good job at Oklahoma so far.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think it's going to come down to, if they get to the playoff, how the play goes there. And I feel like that's typically where most Heismans are won or lost.
I agree. I just want to say that I think Fields has to finish strong. If he has to have a big game against Michigan this year, and I think that Michigan being down is going to hurt his Heisman candidacy, because people are going to be like, oh, well, Michigan wasn't good anyway. It puts up big numbers.
Well, and here's the thing with Fields, too. Like, also, Fields kind of has an advantage where, say he plays well the rest of the year, the wins he has, if they go undefeated and he plays well, he's going to have wins against Michigan, Penn State, and he would have to beat Wisconsin twice. So he'll have Wisconsin twice as a win.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that, those are also things where people are going to look at and say, oh, this kid dominated against, you know, the best teams that he played. So that's also going to help him out going into the playoffs if they do get in. And then I think just one or two games they play in the playoffs is another indication on, you know, how he looks going into the end of the season on how the votes go.
I also think that the Red River shootout hurts his Heisman candidacy, because people saw that and, like, they saw him not play great.
I didn't catch the first quarter of that game, but didn't he have two turnovers?
Bad turnovers, too.
Texas zone?
Yeah, one of them was very bad.
Yeah, I was just finishing up a round of golf going. But I was following it, and I said, man, Hurts turned the ball over twice, very un-Hurts-like.
Joe Moorhead, what do you think of him?
Okay, I see where we're going. Okay, I didn't know we were going to go into this.
Yeah, this is the last thing. Oh, why not?
I'm fine with that. I like it. I like Moorhead. He kind of is a Northeast guy. I mean, he's from here, so it's not like he kind of is. He actually is. He's
coached at Fordham.
Yeah, but I think he's from Pennsylvania, coached at Fordham.
Yeah, he's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he made Fordham very good off of getting UConn transfers. He's gone down to Mississippi State. Bulldogs have looked pretty good under him. I think you told me today his buyout has gone up now. I mean, up from zero. But I think
I think it was reported as zero. I think it was just wrong.
Okay, but I mean, I think that, in my opinion, I like Moorhead. But I don't know if he is the right guy. I think he is definitely a good candidate to come in and fix it. You know, get it going in the right direction. But I think right now I'm just being stubborn, and like, I'm sitting here like, I want someone to come in and give them 10 wins. And I understand that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for 8-win bowl games. And I think Moorhead can do that. So, you know what? I take back what I just said. I like Moorhead, even though we didn't discuss him in the original Chris Ash firing, but I do think that he would be a good hire.
All right. I agree with your opinion here. I thought we were going to argue about this, but I also think, hey, we can't be beggars, can't be choosers, and he's not an awful hire. Although I did see a comment on Reddit that I thought was pretty funny, and someone said, can't survive in the SEC. Let's just go take job in the big second hardest division with the worst team in the country. And I was like, that's tough.
Yeah, Yeah, like we just said, beggars can't be choosers. I think like a big problem of mine, and it's probably not just me, is I'm just like, I want to win 10 games. When like in reality, you know, that's a tough thing to do, and I don't think that's going to be a regular thing at Rutgers, and that's nothing against Rutgers. That's just the conference they play in. Not many teams win 10 games in the Big Ten. So if you know, as long as Moorhead can get us in the bowl games, I think that'll be a successful hire.
No, I agree with that. 10 wins would be a great, like, even 8-5 or something like that, I'd be happy with. Like, as like a second or third year at Moorhead, I think we need to lower the expectations first year, like through 3 or 4 wins. But if we get like eight wins, like year two or year three, that's very good.
And here's like going deeper into what you just said with like the 2 or 3 wins. Even if they're 2 and 3, like let's say they're what, 3 and 9, as long as they're not getting blown out, that's a step in the right direction. You know, go into the fourth quarter down. Yeah, go into the fourth quarter down 14 to someone good. I'm fine.
One passing yard. Although here, I will want to say one thing. Nunzo Campanelli, not great at the college level, but this is kind of what like should have been expected, I feel like. Although
I expected it.
Yeah, and
this is nothing against him.
No, dude, he got thrown in. He went from being a tight ends coach, I think, to being thrown into a head coach in the second hardest division in the country.
Yeah, and that's nothing against him.
He was coaching high schoolers 2 years ago.
And who knows? Maybe he stay. You know, they bring say they keep him on the staff. He stays as a tight end coach. I think they should too. We've both been vocal about that. You know, stays on, has a couple of years under Moorhead, whoever comes in, does well. He could go on and coach somewhere else and be a good coach. I just think that right now, getting thrown into the Big Ten is not an ideal situation
Plus,
for
without your
most
best
people.
Two players.
Like, yeah.
Let's be honest. Like Art didn't look too bad this year, so he was probably one of the better players in the offense.
I will say that so far this year, from the time we did see of Art, I will take the Iowa game away because he had no time to think in the Iowa game.
Yeah, AJ Epineza was in the backfield in 2 seconds.
He might as well have just started with him standing next to him. But I mean, the Boston College game, he looked really good, really, really good. So there's pieces now. You know, he's gonna redshirt. He'll come back, and you know, under the new regimen, whoever it is, now it's gonna be time to start going.
Yeah, no, I saw that Blackshear and him don't plan to transfer, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think they would either, especially this point in the year. I didn't when you told me that I didn't
no,
understand
they,
what
they
you meant.
No, they don't plan to transfer at all.
Yeah, I know.
It's good though.
I'm trying to think. Is there anything else we want to touch on?
I think that's about it. I think.
Yeah, that'll wrap it up for this week. So let us know, guys. What are your locks of the week? I didn't get to tweet that one. What are your locks this week?
Oh, tweet it.
I'll tweet it. Let me know what some of your locks are this week, guys. What are you looking forward to? And then next week, we'll have questions going. So keep an eye out for that tweet. We'll catch you guys next week for a recap of what's going on.